see.
Item 16.
Item number 16, from the Fiscal and Budget Administrator, Fiscal Affairs Division, Department of Administrative Services, submitting a 2013 appropriation transfer packet for the October 2013 cycle.
Mr. Fudge, have the has the packet been assigned by the county executive?
Mr. Chairman, yes, it has.
Okay, any particular, would you like to give us a summary, any particular items of note?
Sure.
Underscore.
Briefly, there are 19 fund transfers this cycle. Five of them are receipt of revenue fund transfers, including the court's pretrial services items that you've seen, one to establish the park amenities matching fund, a capital receipt of revenue in the amount of $6 million for the insurance proceeds from the courthouse fire, one unallocated contingency fund transfer to help pay for the armor contract for inmate medical costs, two capital improvement fund transfers, three interdepartmental fund transfers, including the creation of the case management system for pretrial services, the transfer of the day reporting center to the House of Correction, and a one between the sheriff and the House of Correction to transfer some risk management cross charges, and then a number of departmental cross charges, the largest of which is the House of Correction, $846,000 to basically absorb the remainder of the armor contract. And if you have any questions on specific transfers, I'll be happy to respond.
It was a pleasure. Any separate action requested? Supervisor Lipscomb?
Thank you. Not at this time, but I have a couple questions.
Okay.
I guess depending on the answers, maybe separate action.
Okay.
Sorry, let me go backwards here.
We're on item number 16. We're on the transfers.
19. First one is A3, which is page 3. It's about the House of Correction and more dogs. These part of the disputed property that was said to have been taken from the house. And was there any formal attempt to negotiate that, you know, some dogs could be returned, or was there, or did we not even ask, or how has that been handled?
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, I believe that there was an attempt to get some of the dogs back. However, that was unsuccessful on the part of the House of Correction. This was also approved as a funded item in the 2013 JAG grant, which went in the July cycle. So this project was identified there in the application for that grant.
Okay. Yeah, it's just a shame. I think I brought it up when we had the parks pool amendment that several of our dogs were actually donated by this, including the training, by the same guy who's making the donation on the pools. So it's unfortunate that we're having to buy more dogs and more training when we have dogs who are trained and an excess of capacity if we would just share our resources. The sheriff isn't sharing. That's the problem. Second question was on the D one. This more money for the GMIA, the parking structure at the airport. This infill. We continue to add money to the project. I'm just trying to understand whether we knew what this project was when we got into it. I mean, what's the analysis in terms of the amount of investment we make? Do I understand the project right? First of all, we have additional ramps, excess ramps that are removed, and then we infill those with flat slabs and get some additional spaces that are rented to the car companies. Is that what this is? And
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, Pat Walsleger, Deputy Director, Airport. Yes, basically, as part of the negotiation with the rental car companies, they have a specific set of spaces or space within the parking structure where they park the rental cars, the ready car area, so when people come to pick up the cars, they're right there. Excuse me. There is a ramp there to get to a different floor, a couple of ramps, and we had a company come in, Grafe, and review this. No one uses these ramps, so if we infill them, get rid of the ramp, we're going to be adding additional parking spaces that is ready car space for the rental car companies. The rental car companies do pay us a commission on all of their work or all of their sales, and they do rent X amount or allocated X amount of space within the parking structure to have their cars. So this was part of their lease negotiation, their new term. We agreed to do this. The original assessment by Grafe was low when the bids came in. They were significantly higher than anticipated. We sent it out for bid a second time, and this $325,000 that we're asking for now is to bring it up to be able to award the bid at a high. It's higher than was originally thought, but it's lower than the first go round.
Right. So I guess it's a couple things maybe. So we're being asked to continue the project at almost 50% more than original, and I'm just wondering, when we get a situation like that, do we reevaluate the cost benefit of this? I mean, given that the airport traffic is down substantially, don't we have excess parking capacity, and couldn't we just lease them space, existing space? Do we need to put $1 million into this, or could we just lease them existing space?
This is pretty prime space, or I shouldn't say it isn't prime. The prime space is already taken, and they do fill that. This is space that's kind of off to the side on the second floor, where the public isn't, so we don't open it up there. So it really belongs, it's kind of the area that the rental cars already use. The rental cars will be paying us back for this over a term. At their agreement, they charge $1 per contract, per rental contract, mm-hmm. which is paid back to us, over time as they collect that. It's around $200,000+ a year we're getting back, so we'll have the money repaid and we will charge interest against it. We'll refund our reserve fund with it.
I guess what I'm saying is, couldn't we rent them space, existing space, and not have to invest $1 million? So
it's not contiguous space. It's not convenient.
Okay. And is there anything?
We could lose parking rental. Like I said, this is the prime rental space, or would be, that we would be giving away to the rental cars. This is our highest paying area. If we were going to give them more space that's nearby, it would be taking it out of our highest payers. The hourly parking, so it's the people that are coming in and paying the bigger.
So we don't have excess space in that.
We really don't
that
have
section.
Excess space in that
okay,
section.
That's what
so
I'm
it would not be, like I said, it would not be a contiguous space, which would make it difficult for the passenger, the client, to pick up the rental car.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Explanation.
Supervisor Ramos.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to clarify. I don't want to belabor the point with the sheriffs and the dogs, but if someone could clarify my memory, which is that in the 2013 budget, all but one dog was removed from the House of Corrections budget. That being the case, when the sheriff left the House of Correction, he took the dogs that were not part of the budget, and he has absorbed them into his budget. Apparently he has the purview to do. And so those dogs are now being used by the Sheriff's Department in other aspects because the 2013 budget stated that there would be one dog out at the House of Correction. And that was not put back into the budget by this board. So that being the case, I would like for someone to clarify to me that that is not the case. Obviously, when the dogs were cut from the budget, and there was a line item in the budget that said that, you know, the county executive had done his research and that medium security facilities were not using dogs at a high rate, and therefore it was not prudent to have three dogs, and so they were keeping just the one dog. If that's not the case, let me go back. So the House of Correction was then under the purview of the sheriff. It is now under the House under the superintendent. If the superintendent intended to have dogs out at the House of Correction over the one dog that was left at the House of Correction, then it's my kind of understanding that it would be up to the superintendent then to supply dogs and to get his own dogs, because the dogs that were previously at the House of Correction were, in essence, written out of the budget, and as officers were essentially laid off. And so the sheriff, instead of laying off these two deputy dogs, decided to absorb them in his other budget and has done so.
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, I believe it was the 2012 budget that reduced the number of posts for canine at the House of Correction from 2 to 1. It was not specific on the number of dogs that would actually have. It was more a staffing level, if you will. So in theory, in 2012, the sheriff then operating the House of Correction should have reduced the number of dogs to match that level of posts there. Instead, he chose to keep them throughout 2012 and into the beginning of 2013, and has now transferred them over, to the jail or into the sheriff's budget, which also doesn't have, the authority or the expenditure budget to do that. So that's kind of the history of the transfer.
Okay, so Mr. Chairman, I think that doesn't prove what I just said wrong. So what happened is that these dogs were written essentially out of the budget, and that the sheriff chose to absorb them into his budget, and therefore, when he left the House of Correction, he took these dogs with him that he had been caring for and had absorbed into his budget. And so I don't want to go tit for tat, but I really don't like the innuendo that somehow the sheriff has taken things that don't belong to him. And I wanted to state for the record that, you know, these dogs, and part of that is, you know, it was before the county board and we had the purview and we could have put the post back, and we didn't do it. And so the sheriff decided that these, you know, dogs were important enough that he was going to absorb them into his budget, and he has. And so I think that's commendable. And again, if the superintendent at the House of Correction now believes that he needs to have dogs to accomplish the work out at the House of Correction, then I do believe that it is, you know, for him, because again, they're not a line item in his budget either. There is one, you said there's one post, and they have one dog, and so. You know, I don't know if there's labor rules regarding how long a dog can work. I don't know too much about labor dogs, but I would imagine the dog gets breaks and whatnot. And so, again, I'm not sure what the need is. But again, it was very clearly stated in the budget that the county executive had done his homework and did believe that the one dog was sufficient, and that he had done the research, and that, you know, across nationwide, they are not using dogs at medium security facilities the way that perhaps they used to, and so that one dog is warranted, the others were not. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. Any other potential items for second action, Supervisor Lipscomb?
Thanks. Just one other, just a technical one on page 18, it's number 6 in F6.
Mm-hmm.
Just when the chart above and the narrative disagree, does the narrative take precedence in terms of the, I think it's reversed, where it's coming from and going to.
Mr. Fudge.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, you are correct. Those should be reversed, and actually we can provide a new copy for board day. But yes, the funding is going to 8552 from salaries and Social Security, so I apologize for the typo.
No problem. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other comments? Request for separate action? No. Supervisor Lipscomb?
No, thank you.
No?
Move approval if there's not a motion.
Supervisor Lipscomb moves approval of the whole package. Madam Clerk, seeing no indication from supervisors that someone would like to speak further, please call the roll.
Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Roma West?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Stamper?
Aye.
Cullen?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
8 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to approve item 16 is approved.
Thank you very much.